realized why Tim asked me to speak today is probably because he didn't want to have to get up here and do it tired, so, which I did not have the foresight for that when he asked me way back in December, so, oh my gosh. Well, thank you for having me here today. It is a real honor. I am so surprised at how many of you I know here. I wasn't expecting that, so, which is really cool to see a lot of familiar faces and old friends. That's awesome. I guess I should talk about myself for just a minute. So for those of you who don't know me at all, my name is Renee Boskell. My maiden name is Miller. My parents are David and Claudia Miller, so I'm from this area. I've been here. My parents, I moved here. My mom moved here with me when I was a year old, and then my parents got married, and I've been here ever since. So I went to GMS for a number of years, and so that's where I think I know a lot of these faces. But yeah, Tim is right. When he invited me to speak, in my head, I'm just thinking like my old version of Mennonite and everything that was kind of ingrained in me through that denomination by being at the school for a bunch of years way back when. And I was like, a woman on a Sunday morning? Are you sure this is okay? I'm not going to come there if everyone's just going to be throwing stones at me. This isn't. But he assured me that that's not where things are. And he and Carrie came over and we spent some time hanging out and talking and getting to know each other. Actually, Tim did most of the talking and storytelling. It was great. It was a good time. It was a really good time. But anyway, so I'm really excited, and the atmosphere feels really awesome in here. Worship was fantastic. That was really good. The church that I go to is called the House of Praise, and they're wild about their worship there. It's like a whole different level at that place. And so I very rarely go anywhere that even like touches kind of like the places they touch, and you guys do that here. So that's really, really cool. But anyway, my timer is ticking away. It's stressing me out a little bit. I'm going to move it. So I got invited to speak here after, I believe it was Carrie, had watched a teaching that I did a while back on the topic of rest, and she loved it, and hence I'm here now. So I'm basically going to give the same teaching today. They asked me to do it, but they said, you know, if you feel like the Holy Spirit speaks anything else to you, go ahead and go that route. And I kind of had a couple other little things stirring me, but nothing really came to too much. So I'm just going to go down this route. So today I'm going to talk about rest. And rest is something that I didn't really know too much about. You hear about resting and you say, oh, I'm going to go rest for a while or whatever. But I was in a season of my life that started about 6.5 years ago after my first son was born. And I'm going to kind of condense the story because it takes me about 15 minutes to get through the whole thing. But he was a very challenging baby, and he required a lot out of me. And it was just the beginning of about a 3-year-long period where I was not getting any sleep, not taking any time for myself, not taking time to really like rest in the Lord at all. And through the end of it, I wound up in a really bad depression. And so anyway, I'm just going to kind of talk about how I got to unpacking what God even has to say about rest and how important that is for us. So anyway, let me look at my notes so I can get on track. All right, so during about a 3-year period, let's say I had my first son, and then 1.5 years later, I get pregnant with my next baby, who is a son as well. So I have 2 little boys, and if any of you have little boys, then I probably don't need to elaborate too much. You know exactly how tiring they can be. But so I basically went through this period where, like I said, I wasn't getting very much sleep. I was caught in this struggle of feeling like I needed to accomplish this long list of like things to do. Of course, I was a stay-at-home mom, and so I'm feeling like, okay, well, I'm home, which means I need to make sure the house is like perfectly clean all the time. And I need to make sure that the fridge is perfectly stocked all the time. And I have to make sure the laundry is like on point all the time. And all of these different things that were really, really, really hard to accomplish when I'm home with two little boys all the time. And luckily, my husband is really amazing, and he never put that pressure on me. That was just a pressure, like the standard that I had in my own head. And I just, he would constantly try to talk me out of feeling like it was that I needed to accomplish these things. He was really trying to just say, Renee, it's okay. Like, your one and only goal right now is to take care of these guys, all right? But for whatever reason, I wouldn't let that compute, and I just kept on keeping on with this ridiculous life. So anyway, I was really drained. Most days I would, you know, I'd wake up after not maybe sleeping 2 or 3 hours in the night, maybe 4 or 5 if I was lucky. And I would face the morning every day tired, take care of the babies all the time. And then they would go to bed at night, and when normally you would think it's time to like chill out, I would feel like I had to do all this work that I couldn't get done during the day. So I wake up tired in the night, take care of the kids all day, and things are just a disaster. And for any of you who, for some people, that doesn't really mean a lot, but for others who like things in order, that is just like a stressor on the brain just to see like the absolute mess all around. So I'm dealing with that. We were in a season of life where money was a huge problem. And then, you know, the kids go to bed at the end of the day, and I'm like working and working and working until I can't stay awake anymore, and then I collapse and go to bed. So anyway, this was a cycle for like 3 straight years. I would try to talk to people about it, and usually I would just get advice on like how to better manage my day. And, okay, well, maybe if you just try this, and maybe if you just try that, things will get better. And all I really wanted was for somebody to say, Renee, it's okay. You are just in a rough season right now. You do not need to be working like this. That's all I wanted, and nobody was telling me that. Nobody was telling me to take time and just rest, and that it was okay to just rest, to just go to bed after the kids go to bed and rest, or just sit around and just sort through the thoughts in your head. You know, just, I never did that. Nobody ever told me that. So I'm not here today to give you advice on how to get your life more organized. I am here to tell you that it's okay to take some time and rest. So anyway, sometimes on Saturday mornings, I would wake up and I would just want to sit. You know, my husband Keith, he works a Monday through Friday job. So Saturdays he's home, and I would just want to like sit and relax and let him just kind of take care of things so I could just chill out. But I wouldn't let myself even do that. I would sit there, and if I would try to, I was overrun with feelings of feeling guilty and just like this nagging inside my head, like, you need to be doing this and that, and look at all the stuff around you that's undone, da-da-da-da-da, you know, it never stops. So anyway, that was even a struggle. So basically, I had a couple major lifelines that were keeping me going through the season, which was my husband, who was a super huge support system, but also my best friend. And then after both she and I had our third kids, she went back to college, and it basically just kind of wiped her out of being a major presence in my life. And that just pretty much tipped me over the edge. That lifeline being gone threw me out of the water. I didn't know what to do. So anyway, the depression that was minimal at that time got worse very quickly. And if any of you know what depression is like, it's a really horrible thing. It's a real thing. And it's not just one of those, it's not just something that you can just be like, oh, I'm just not going to be sad today. It was really challenging. So basically, after like the millionth nervous breakdown, and I'm pretty sure one day I got so angry about something, I threw one of the kids' toys across the room and broke something. I was really wild that day and out of my mind. He says, you need to go get some counseling. So, and he had said that to me a few times before, but that specific day, he said it. He was like, if you don't call, I'm going to call. Like, you need to go talk to someone. And he knew I wasn't right inside. like who I am was nothing that anybody was experiencing out of me. So I knew he was right that day. Something just broke and I was like, all right, I'm going to go talk to somebody. So I made a phone call. I go to this lady that has counseled me through a couple other rough seasons in life. And I sit there and like just word vomit like 2 straight hours of like what the past 3 years had been like. I mean, just on and on and on and on and on and on. And she so graciously just let me listen. And I'm talking and crying and talking and crying and all this stuff. And she was like, she said at the end, she was like, wow, listening to you is extremely exhausting. That story in itself is exhausting. So I gave you guys a serious nutshell version, leaving out lots of details, but she said, when was the last time, and this is where it got good, and this is where I heard what I'd been waiting to hear. She was like, when was the last time, or when do you rest? And I was like, oh, rest. Funny thing. I don't ever rest. Never. I don't ever. I just don't. And she was like, well, when was the last time you and Keith ever just like left the kids with someone and go do something alone? And I was like, I don't know, it's been a couple of years. I mean, I'm talking even, we hadn't even been out to dinner, just the two of us. So anyway, her advice to me, which I took to heart, was, Renee, I want you to just basically clear your schedule for a year. You need like a major life detox. You need to completely rethink everything that's going on in you. She was like, I don't want you throwing birthday parties for your kids. I don't want you going to events. This was in November. She was like, skip every Christmas thing that's going on. You know, who knows, like, that's one of the most stressful times in there. You get invitations to, like, 30 parties, and you try to go to all of them. She was like, skip them all. Figure out when you and Keith can go on vacation. You know, she was like, just don't do anything. And I had absolutely no problem taking that advice. I don't think I curbed the advice one bit. I was like, yes, I'm doing everything that you say. So, and I did. And anyway, so that right there was the beginning of me understanding the value of rest, because through that whole thing, I became whole again. I didn't have to wind up going on any meds. I only went to go see her 2 times, and I was completely better. So that was the beginning of my journey into like diving into like what God says about rest, how important it is for us, and how life-giving it is for us, and how it can be a cure for so many things. All right, so if you have your Bibles, open them, or your phone Bible apps or whatever. Genesis 2:3, I'm going to start there. I'm just going to start by looking at 4 verses that have to do with rest. Genesis 2:3. Everybody knows this. We've heard it forever. Then God blessed the 7th day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that had been done. So one thing that really stuck out to me about that verse when I first started looking was like, this day is holy because he rested. Okay, so there was just like my first indication of rest being valuable. Next, let's jump over to Exodus 16. Exodus 16:28. Sorry, I didn't prepare PowerPoints, and you have to look all these up yourself. Tim asked me if I wanted to do PowerPoints, and I was like, I don't even know how to make those things. They were, when I was in high school, you know, nowadays I think kids use them all the time for presentations. We were not even doing that. We were still in the days of like making transparencies and putting them on the thing to shine into the wall. So I like skipped that whole thing. I need somebody to teach me. Okay, Exodus 16:28-30. Okay, so in here, Moses is out. Moses has taken the Israelites out of Egypt, and this is the whole story about the manna and the quail. And so anyway, God had laid things out for them, for the Israelites to get their food for 6 days a week, but on the sixth day, get enough for 2 days. That way on Sunday, they could stay home and rest. So, and they were, a bunch of them were not doing that. They were not getting enough food. And then on Sunday, they were trying to go out and find things. And anyway, so in verse 28, then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day. No one is to go out. So the people rested on the seventh day. So here was another thing where, you know, he says, bear in mind, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. So this was kind of important because one thing about life in these times that we need to remember is that to even survive, I mean, they kind of had it made. God was giving them, you know, precisely the food they needed. They could just go out and get it. But we're talking about a time in the world when, you know, things were not as simple. Like for us nowadays, we could not go to the grocery store for probably a few weeks and not really run out of food. So we have so many luxuries that we don't really need to be. God put a commandment on resting because everything they did back then was to survive. You had to do so much work. I mean, you have to not in this very specific instance, but you have to go get your fresh water every day. You have to get what you need to make your fires. You have to make sure your tents are pitched. You have to just everything you do is daily. It's like the only thing I can think of for us to relate it to would be camping. There's so much work that goes into day-to-day living. The Lord was like, okay, life is hard. You have to work very hard all day, all the time. So please take one day. I'm giving this day to you. Take it and rest. You need it. All right, Exodus 20:10. Exodus 20:10. This is where we get into the Ten Commandments. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord. On it you shall not do any work. Neither you nor your son nor your daughter nor your male nor your male or female servant, nor animals nor foreigners residing in your towns. So this is just kind of another picture as to, you know, life in these times was incredibly challenging and there was a lot of work to just even survive day to day. So God is just really start laying down the law for them. You need to take some time to rest. And one thing that's really interesting to me that I'm not sure that any of us have really noticed before, but this commandment is listed right next to not committing adultery and not murdering people. If that doesn't give you some sort of perspective of how important, this isn't about Sabbath and Sunday and not doing anything on a particular day. This is about God saying, hey guys, I created, you're a human being. You need rest. It's so important to me that you rest. I'm going to slip it in here in these Ten Commandments. And the commandments, and we have to remember too about the Israelites, they had been slaves for hundreds of years. These are the Ten Commandments are the bare bones, basic level, life skill type of instructions. I mean, these are the types of things you raise your kids with. These are moral guidelines. These aren't the top dogs of things. So this stuff, here we are in the New Covenant. God has written these things on our heart. It's just kind of in us to just walk and move in all these things. But why is it that the one about rest is tucked somewhere deep down that's covered up by guilt or shame or I need to get this done now, or if my house isn't clean enough when my friend comes over, they're going to think this about me or whatever. So rest is such a basic thing that God put it in place at the time of creation. He mentions it in the Ten Commandments as basic instructions for the Israelites. All right, another one, Mark 2:27. Oh my gosh, where am I going? I was in Haiti a few weeks ago, and I did this teaching down there with a with an interpreter, and she was fantastic, but she was super confused as to where all the books of the Bible were, and she said, "Mark, where is that? After Revelation?" And I was like, no. So then for the rest of the time, every time I would say a verse, she would, just as a joke, in the middle of us trying to teach, "Where is that? After Revelation?" It was hilarious. Okay, Mark 2:27. Okay, so this is just kind of a funny story that just shows Jesus' heart towards what resting or the Sabbath had become. So Jesus and his disciples were walking through the grain fields, and some Pharisees were kind of like walking around with them. I don't know if they were just being annoying and wanted to see what he was doing, but I think they were trying to watch and see what was going on so they could poke fun at or just try to figure out reasons why they weren't religious enough and yada, yada, yada. So anyway, one of the disciples picks up some grain out of, they're walking through the grain field, so they pick some grain off of the wheat and, you know, crush it. They want to eat it. And so the Pharisee is like, "Wow, look what that guy just did." And Jesus is like, "Ah, come on. The Sabbath was made for man, not the man for Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." So it's just really funny to me how when he was confronted by the Pharisee right there, that he was just totally didn't make a big stink about it. And it kind of puts in perspective to us, like, God made rest for us. And it's not supposed to be, because at this stage in time, a day of rest had become this extremely religious thing with lots of rules to follow. I mean, I've heard or read a couple of things about, and you guys might know this, where I think the Jewish leaders were allowed to walk like something like 12 steps or something like that. And then they had to rest for a certain amount of time and then they could walk 12 more steps. And so I guess if you wanted to go to someone's house for dinner, you would have to start in the morning to get there by evening because it would take you all day. But anyway, so rest is so valuable that God, to God, that his day of resting was named holy. Okay, we saw that back in Genesis. He gave a day of Sabbath to the Israelites just so that they would take time to rest. These are people that were in slavery and probably never rested a day in their life ever. So he basically is like, this is a command, do it, you need it, okay? And then he stresses it again to us in the Ten Commandments. And then we're reminded by Jesus here in Mark that rest was made for man. Okay, so those are just sort of the basics. Let's just dive in a little bit deeper. I have 22 minutes and 44 seconds. No, it's good. I need it because when I do this normally, it takes me about a solid hour. So I'm totally like trying to blow through as fast as I can. It's good. All right. So I want to make a statement to say that to understand the ways of God, we must first understand rest. So let's go back into Exodus again. Very Old Testament-y today. Exodus 33:12-14. Exodus 33:12-14. All right, so here we're back with Moses, and they've already gotten the Ten Commandments, and the Israelites have built the golden calf, and I think Moses just had a point of being kind of frustrated with everything. And so in verse 12, Moses says to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name, and you have found favor with me.' If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." Okay, so right there, Moses is basically asking the Lord two questions. He says, he says, "Who are you going to send with me? And if you're pleased with me, teach me your ways." So he's saying, "Who are you going to send with me, and can you teach me your ways?" So in verse 14, the Lord starts to reply. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you. So that's who's going to go with him, his presence. And I will give you rest. So who's going to go with me? I will go with you. Show me your ways. I will give you rest. When we really start to understand rest and its importance, we realize that God kind of sits on a foundation of rest. So what does that foundation look like? We enter into relationship through rest. We all know the verse in Matthew 11 where Jesus is saying, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That is his like plea to humanity to come be with him, to come be in relationship with him. What are you going to get? I'm going to give you rest. Relationship with the Father comes from resting in him, spending time with him, resting in and leaning on the truth of who he is, his goodness, his promises to us, who each of you guys are because of the finished work of the cross, what you now carry because of him, what you carry because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, who he created you to be as an individual. Okay, so relationship with the Lord, we get so much rest, just spiritual rest, when we sit and lean into all of these things. God, okay, so one of the parts of the foundation of rest is that is the spiritual relationship. The other part of the foundation is that God works from a place of rest. In 6 days God created the earth. He created and commissioned Adam, but so he creates Adam, and then Adam gets created day 6, and then what is the first thing that Adam learns about God on day 7? Any of you know the answer? What do they do? The very first day, like Adam gets created, and the very first thing that he and God do is rest. we can look at it real fast. Genesis 1:31. I'll just read it. You can flip there if you want. I'll go to it fast. Verse 31, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed. Oh, another thing that Adam learned was that everything in God's creation is good. So we learned that everything that God created was good. And then the seventh day, God had finished his work, and then they rest. So Adam learns two things from the get-go. God is good, everything he creates is good, and we're going to rest. That's what we're going to do. Before we start, you know, naming animals, and before we start, you know, taking care of the garden, we're just going to rest, all right? So we can start to think about things as doing things from a place of rest. You're going to start to feel a difference in your life. One thing that's really interesting to point out, at the end, if you're reading through the story in Genesis, at the end of every day, it uses the wording, and then there was evening, and then there was morning. And I really feel like this is a point, something for us to notice, that what do we normally do? Our evenings are usually a time when we're like winding down. And it's really important for us to take these times for resting, because that's going to be our foundation, because then comes morning, and that's when we start working again. So I think that that's something that's really important that we could start paying attention to. We're meant to walk in step with the Holy Spirit with our hearts at rest. This goes a little bit back to what I was talking about before about, you know, when we come into relationship with Jesus, we should be at rest. There's a verse, 1 John 3:19, it says, this is how we know that we belong to truth and how we set our heart at rest in his presence. One thing that I can, a way that I can make that relatable is, how do I say it? Basically, I used to be an incredibly tightly wound person. I found that out more so after I had kids, and I like things super rigid and organized and structured. And then if like one thing goes wrong with the kids, I would fly off the handle because immediately I'm like, everything's going wrong. How are we going to handle this? It's going to ruin the rest of the day. Everything gets off track from here. Ba-da-da-da. Like all these crazy thoughts, completely emotionally overreacting to a really bad degree. And immediately you become really angry in your heart. You're not nice. You know, you are frustrated, irritated. There is like zero spiritual fruit happening in those moments, right? I'm sure you guys can relate that to something, whether it's your kids or a spouse or a coworker or whoever. We've all experienced those moments, right? So it's like, okay, resting in his presence, I know that I belong to truth. So how do I put my heart at rest in his presence? So I see this verse in Psalm 23:5, he says, he sets a table for us in the presence of our enemies. And it started to make me think that, and just really picture and visualize. I'm a pretty visual thinker of like, every time something goes wrong, the Lord is there and he has a table basically prepared for me that I can make the choice to either just sit at and be with him in truth and be at rest in these moments, or I can plow forward with all of these stupid lies that are going on in my head and acting like a total maniac to everyone around me, right? So I really started to picture that, and I was like, that's what I want, because I want to be, like, that is like taking full advantage of the things that he has for us, you guys. We're not, like, there's so much available for us, and that's one of those things that if I decide to sit at the table and just stay at rest, a lot of us don't do that. And that's something, he just has this table set for us all the time. And we just have to make the choice to sit down at it. I know there's got to be times when people look at me and there's like wild stuff going on, and they're probably like, I don't know how she's not going crazy right now. And I remember when I first started getting used to like just staying at a place of rest, staying in a place of truth, that I would be like, Lord, am I just being really naive right now? Am I just kind of suppressing it? And he was like, no, that's not what you're doing at all. He was like, you're just at rest, Renee. I was like, all right, good. Because this feels way better than the old way. Because it used to be something wouldn't go right. Knee-jerk reaction is to flip out your heart. Or even if you don't flip out, if you're not like a person that, you know, gets boisterous or loud when you're frustrated, you still have like mental things going on. Your heart hurts. Just the anger doesn't feel good, right? So you don't experience any of that when you are sitting at the table instead. So that also reminds me of the fruit of the Spirit, patience. I was looking up the Greek word on that, and someone likened it, one of the commentaries likened it to not exactly patience in the way that most of us would think of it, but as it being the opposite, that particular fruit of the Spirit being the opposite of, I wrote it down. I knew I'd forget it. The opposite of short-tempered. To me, that was really exciting because I started to really tap into that opposite of short-tempered, which was, I'm not going to do the knee-jerk reaction this way. I have that patience in me to take a minute. Whew, okay, truth is right over here. It's a little bit hard because I'm feeling pulled this way. This is what I'm used to over here. This is what I know. This is how I react. But I have everything inside of me because of the Holy Spirit to not react quickly and to go over here and train myself that this is the way that we need to be handling things, okay? So one way, if you really start to practice that, and like I said, for me in the beginning, I was like, am I just being naive and am I like ignoring problems? One way that you can know for sure that you're doing it right is that if you're just ignoring problems, you're just going to be like, okay, I'm going to turn my back on that. Nothing gets solved. But if you can just sit and be at rest and be in truth, you stay peaceful and you can problem solve the situation. Okay, so things are still getting accomplished, but you're just coming from a totally different place. All right. So one thing that we need to do is that rest runs out. So I needed to take like a year to rest because I hadn't rested a single ounce in like 3 years. So I took a year. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I was still taking care of like daily necessities, but every single night, basically without fail, I would just sit on the couch and digress from the day. And, you know, I had times when I would spend time with the Lord, and we, I don't know, lots of things that we did to just be more peaceful and just be still. I just needed to be still. So anyway, some of you may need that too. Some of you maybe haven't rested at all in like 20 years. You're not going to be able to go take a long weekend vacation with your wife and fix what's going on inside of you. You're going to need a lot of time, and it's okay to take that time. It's worth the time to get your heart and your mind and your spirit back on track, okay? So don't, I'm here to tell you, don't be afraid to take time. Because once you get there and once you get to this new place where you can be resting, you need to remember that you have to rest on a consistent basis. So God kind of gave us a picture, you know, like one entire day in a week. So we could do that. For most of us in America, an entire day per week doesn't really pan out. Our lifestyle, our culture just really isn't built that way. But you can take 3 or 4 hours a day or an hour every single day, or maybe every few weeks you go on a four-day trip out of town or whatever. I mean, I'm making stuff up off the top of my head, but, you know, rest runs out. It's just kind of like how a car runs out of gas or, you know, a drink runs out of water. Your rest runs out and you need to be restored again. So you can't just like after today, if you're really struggling with some things, go on a vacation with your family in a couple weeks and then come home and think you're going to be better, because you won't. Because especially in America, we take vacations and we have that great saying called, I need a vacation for my vacation. So that is not going to help you. So anyway, we need to be consistently leaning in into who the Father is, all right? And I'm not just talking about doing devotions, because I know people who are really good at like their daily bread devotions, and like there's basically no relationship there. They're just like reading this little, okay, I read my scripture for today, I'm good. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? I'm talking about letting, even if it's like 2 or 3 minutes of the Lord every day just speaking to you who you are, who he created you to be, letting him remind you of his goodness and just spending time in that stuff. That stuff will give your soul and your spirit so much rest. All right, so we need that, but we also need the physical rest too. So one, through this whole journey, obviously for me, I started my story in a place where I got into this journey because of depression. And all of that came because I wasn't rested and I was really stressed out. So when your body isn't rested, spiritually and physically, because we need to do both. We can't just like sit around on the couch every night and then expect to be at a complete level of rest, all right? We got to do spiritual and physical. So when we will enter into stress if we're not rested. And so I started to just kind of research stress a little bit. So I went into some websites and some medical websites and did some reading and did some listening of some podcasts and some different things, and started to realize that stress is the number one cause for all medical problems in the United States. How many of you have gone to the doctor with anything besides like a cold, and they say, what's the first question they ask you? Have you been under any stress lately? Like even the secular and or medical field, they recognize that stress is a major issue in our lives. And it's because we don't rest. And guys, we are God's kids. We should not be suffering these same problems that the world is suffering from. It is so simple. Like Jesus came here to show us the Father's heart. And one of the things in the Father's heart is that we're walking in perfect health. And we're not even walking in perfect health as a whole. I know so many Christians who have just as much cancer, just as much mental problems, just as much every other medical problem you can think of as the non-Christian people I know. That is a huge problem. We should be so good at resting that our hearts and our bodies and our minds are just so healthy. Amen. Right? But we're not that good at it, and we need to get good at it, and we can get good at it. We just have to give rest its value and honor it. So anyway, just for fun, I'll read you a couple statistics. In the medical field, they divide stress up into different stages. Stress stage one is a normal alert state. It can just be an alert to us that something isn't going right. We need to take care of something. But stress stage two and stage three are caused by toxic thinking. It's normal stress gone wrong, and it has far-reaching consequences on our mental and physical health. So here are synonyms for stress: anxiety, nervousness, fearfulness, apprehensiveness, impatience, fear, tension, and restlessness. How many of you struggle with at least one of those things, if not more, or know people who do, right? Lots of us. More symptoms are memory problems, inability to concentrate, poor judgment, moodiness, feeling overwhelmed, sense of loneliness and isolation. Golly day, you guys, we are part of the body of Christ. Not a single one of us should be dealing with feeling lonely or isolated ever. That makes my heart hurt, you guys. I don't want any of you to be feeling like that. Depression, general unhappiness, aches, pains, nausea, frequent colds, eating more or less, sleeping too much or too little. Usually that happens when you're in like a serious depression of state. You sleep too much or too little. Isolating yourself, nervous habits, substance abuse, or whatever. We're killing ourselves just as much as the world is killing themselves by not tapping in to this incredible thing that the Lord created called rest. The top three ways that I found on this medical website to combat stress are relaxation, relationship, and adequate sleep. Relationship? Gee whiz, you guys. Relationship? Are you serious? We are in relationship with Jesus. Like, who we are is built upon love and relationship. We need to be tapping into that and receiving the rest that comes from that. Anyway, all of those horrible things I just mentioned, I know we're all pretty familiar with them, but they're not for us and they're not what God has for us. And they're really easy to combat by just beginning to rest on a spiritual, keep wanting to combo spiritual and physical, spiritual level. Because what we do have is the Holy Spirit who's living in us, which is full of love and joy and peace, kindness, goodness. And when we're learning to rest and we're being able to sit at the table of rest in the presence of our enemies or, you know, whatever's going wrong, everything that we do will just come from that place. So instead of the knee-jerk reaction of, like, suddenly being extremely mean to your children because they're doing crazy stuff, you're actually reacting to the moment in love because you're at such rest. We'll begin to walk in, when we can really get a hold of this, we'll begin to walk in more peace, better health, better ability to fight off illness. We'll be more calm. That's one thing I can tell you for me. I feel so much more calm than I used to feel. We'll be more confident and be able to express and receive love so much better. We'll have more happiness, think clearly, we'll have improved mental health and clarity, joy, new revelation. How many of you feel like you go through like super long seasons of like not getting new revelation from the Lord? I can tell you that that will definitely happen when you're not resting. And we'll just be able to just continually be renewed all the time. So we need to remember that rest runs out and we have to tap into that on a consistent basis. Returning, Isaiah 30:15 says, returning requires coming back to the foundation, which is rest. Always start over from rest. Then confidence and quietness will be your strength. That was Isaiah 30:15, in case any of you want to look that up or write it down. So I'm just going to leave you with these 3 points with 38 seconds to spare. Rest was created to protect our value. We're not stepping in to our value and the fullness of who we are if we don't protect our time for resting. Be keen about recognizing the need for rest for those around you. Watch it for your kids. Sometimes I can really tell that my kids have just been running, I probably have been running them ragged for a few days with getting things done, and I'm like, they are acting crazy. They probably just need rest. And so that's what we'll do. Or if I can tell that Keith, he's laughing. He probably is thinking of really funny scenarios with our boys. But anyway, sometimes I can tell, Keith is like probably the most kind-hearted, gentle man that I know. And so if he ever starts to get mean or grumpy, he's not acting out of who God created him to be. And so I'm like, hey, I think you need to go rest. I can tell that he needs it. And then I do whatever it takes for him to go rest for, you know, just go. Usually he just likes to go sit and play his bass or guitar or whatever. And he'll do the same for me. He'll say, hey, I can tell that you've had a rough day and you need some rest. I'll watch the kids tonight, go do something. So help each other figure this out, okay? And another thing that just a last point I want to say, you know, sometimes we can get worried about becoming lazy. And that I think that's a fear that we have with resting. So one thing that you can determine the difference between laziness and rest is what comes after. So we're talking about resting as being our foundation from every place that we work or we live from or whatever. So rest should produce productivity. Laziness will not do that. Laziness will just produce more laziness, okay? So that can be an indicator for you. Let me just see. What do you think? Welcome. I wanted to ask Tammy if she could come up here and like lead everybody in a prayer. Yeah. You come do that.
Good word, Renee. Thanks. Thank you so much. All right. I'm sure all of us resonated with some aspect of her message. And so we just want to go into a time of listening prayer to bring ourselves, see what's hindering that or what God wants to say to us about rest. So the first thing, I just want you to just take a deep breath, and I want you to visualize every cell muscle in your body just relaxing. And if you're having difficulty with that, I want you to actually, under your breath, audibly tell your body, relax. And I want you to, your spirit to connect with Father God and just ask him, what is hindering me from resting? And it could be a lie about rest. It could be unmet or expectations you have. Renee talked about the expectations she had when she first had children. And it could be a busy schedule. What I want you to do is I want you to take whatever is hindering, whether it be a lie, an expectation, a busy schedule, and you're going to give that to Jesus. Jesus, I give you this that's hindering me from being able to rest. And when you give it to him, you need to really let it go. I trust you, Jesus. And I know that I'm going to be okay if I let go of this. You hand that to him and ask him, what do you have in exchange for me? Now we're going to do what we call in Sozo body work. Okay, you're going to talk to your body a little bit. Okay? I want you to actually, if you can whisper, just ignore that there's people around you, but there's something that happens when our words are spoken that doesn't quite happen when we think them. Okay, thinking is good because, like you're saying, toxic thoughts prevent us from resting, and that's good. But I'm wanting you to actually talk to your body. I want you to tell your body, body, I am sorry for not allowing you the rest that you need. I am sorry for denying you the gift that God meant for you to have. I now give you permission to rest. You don't have to continue to strive and work and stress. You can rest now. That's all I have. If you, I don't know if anyone wants to share what God gave you, can, or you can just tell somebody else whenever. But anyway, just keep telling your body. Give your body permission to rest.
That was perfect. Good. Okay. Well, I'm done. Turn it back to you. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, go ahead, stand. If that resonated with you deeply and you would like to come up to receive more prayer, of course, you are free to do that. I would strongly urge you to consider the things the Lord has spoken into your heart today. You are dismissed. Go in the rest of this covenant. Bless you.